One of our SMSs is here from Peter. Peter wants to know how the Glory are going to go today. Well, we've got our round ball expert on the line from goal.com, Joshua Thomas. Good morning to you, Josh.
Good morning, Pete. How's it going over there in Western Australia?
Yeah, beautiful, mate. It's cricket everywhere, but we've still got room to fit in the round ball.
Awesome. Yeah, obviously, as Peter asked about Perth Glory this afternoon, I'm confident, as always, you boys will do well against Newcastle Jets. Newcastle had a good win last week themselves, but, you know, still without Roy O'Donovan, so I think, you know, you boys will get up in that one, but it'll be a good game to watch regardless.
Yeah, it looks like we're just starting to get a few injuries.
Yeah, that's true. It was a shame about Stojanovic last week, only lasting half an hour, and he'll be out for this game.
But yep. Doesn't look like it's too serious, however, apparently.
Yeah, that's the good news. And Popovic, you know, I think he's got a deep enough squad to deal with, you know, these injuries that are popping up now. It's a long season. He's got that depth, particularly in defence. There's a lot of players that can sort of shift in and do a job. So I think he's got that area covered for now, and it'll be interesting to see how you react this afternoon.
Yeah, it will be. Castro just starting to get into a little bit of form.
Yep. Obviously, you know, he was out early on in the season with that injury, and Popovic is never going to rush him back too quickly, so he's just easing himself in, and he's going to give you, you know, a huge X factor moving forward, especially if he can link up to, like, Comanides and Keogh.
Yep.
And, you know, unlock defences. You know, they can really run riot this season up front.
So, I don't know if you got it over there, but in the Rupert Murdoch style newspaper, we've got a thing called the Sunday Times. In today's paper, the most influential people in Australian soccer 2018. There are 10 people. I think you were sitting at number 11, mate. They didn't get you in the 10 yet, but they'll get there. But I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, we've got Chris Nicau, who's the chair nowadays. How do you pronounce his name? Nicau, is it?
Nicu.
Well, I suppose he's influential. Patrick Delaney and Peter Campbell, who are Fox Sport chiefs. That's pretty influential. Number two, Sam Kerr, number three, ahead of Gallup, who's the CEO at four, and Arnold he could only make six. Aaron Moy's number five. Wow.
That's a very interesting top 10. And to be honest, I think Sam Kerr deserves a spot there. I think what she's doing for the women's game in Australia and around the world has been massive the past, you know, 12 months and even 2 years. So good to see them give her some recognition, for sure.
Yeah, pretty interesting, though. I reckon back in Gallup's NRL days, there's no way he would never have been number one or two.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. He's been a bit strange, you know, in his position with the FA. Obviously, so much politics goes on there that he's a bit hamstrung in terms of how much power he does wield. And moving forward with this new FA board, it'd be very interesting to see if he sticks around, to be honest, especially with Stephen Lowy, you know, making way. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think that's actually a really good call on your part. I think even a very, very, very accomplished sporting administrator has found the politics of football in Australia a little bit stifling.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. And obviously, with the two big decisions this week on expansion, I think there's definitely a lot of politics behind those two.
So what do you make from the expansion decision? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, look, I'm
happy to our listeners, do you mind describing what's happened? What are the decisions?
Yeah, so obviously next season we'll see Western Melbourne introduced into the A-League, and then the season after we'll get MacArthur, South West Sydney. I'm satisfied that at least we'll get one new team next season, because there was a real worry that they were just going to, you know, hold us completely for another season, and I think the A-League right now, it's just failing to a really bad degree. I've talked to a number of players, and they said the same thing, you know. Playing the same teams, the same venues once or twice, you know, every few months, and it's just too repetitive. So I'm happy we're getting that new team. As for whether Western Melbourne was the right choice, only time will tell. They've got good financial backing. One of their board members, Lou Sticker, he brought Alessandro Del Piero to Sydney FC back in the day, so he's got plenty of power behind the scenes. But we've seen in Melbourne City, they've been struggling to get a fan base, and Western Melbourne, obviously they're supposedly in a growth corridor, but that's going to take time to build up. So my main concern around them right now is whether they do have that fan base that will jump on board from day one. As for South West Sydney, I'm a bit more optimistic. People say seeing again that it might infringe on Western Sydney fan base. I think it's a very different area out there. Campbelltown is where they'll be playing their games out of. And obviously, Wanderers have played a few games there, but it's a very separate area, very different, and another huge growth corridor. But yeah, as it stands, only time will tell if they are successful. I'm just happy that they finally picked a few teams to be added in.
So help us out from Perth. What's the geography between Western Sydney and Southwest Sydney? What distances are we talking about?
Yeah, looking at 40 kilometres.
Okay, right.
40, 45 kilometres from Parramatta to Campbelltown. And then Campbelltown and Southwest will just claim everything beyond Campbelltown as well, which is a big curve corridor, you know.
Dave Carp
and the like were pointing out on Thursday. Whether they're huge football fans remains to be seen, to be honest. They say, you know, they've got a lot of participants out there, but yeah, it will be interesting. It's a shame, to be honest, that they won't be in the competition next season. Obviously, they're staggering that, mainly because of the Western Sydney Wanderers, which, you know, again, suggests they're not too happy about the choices of clubs. Wanderers getting that new stadium next season, and yes, they have decided to give them some breathing space, let them, you know, reap the full benefits of that. But an 11-team competition isn't ideal. Obviously, we're going to have buys again. Again, good and bad. I mean, if you time them right, it could really help A-League teams competing in the Asian Champions League and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't think anyone is really a huge fan of buys in this day and age.
Yeah, no, I think that makes it a little difficult. So I think we had a second option come up from Fremantle, I think, at one point, but that got knocked out pretty early in the running, I believe.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I don't think it had financial backing behind it, and it's obviously in the areas that the FFA and Fox Sports in particular, because they have a huge say in all of this. Not somewhere they really want to go right now, but definitely moving forward, you know, when we get to a 16-team competition and the second division, I think it's definitely Fremantle and, you know, another Brisbane team are a must.
So we've got an A-League competition. It's going pretty strong at the minute, and it was one hell of a game on Friday night, Melbourne Victory, Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, the craziest first half I have seen in a very, very long time. Six goals, a red card, an own goal.
Yeah.
It was just incredible. And Melbourne Victory playing some unbelievable football right now. Obviously, KSK Honda, Ola Toivonen, just the way they fitted in so quickly. You know, we've seen marquees in the past do some incredible things, but they rarely hit the ground running like these two have. So Melbourne Victory looking very good, and Brisbane, to be honest, you know, obviously they won't play that. But they're looking like they're going to, you know, have some difficulty this season. And obviously, post-match as well, they said Brett Holman could be out for the season. He's going to be on one of their marquees. So tough season ahead for them, but Melbourne Victory looking very good.
Yeah, no, they look like they're purring along quite nicely. I mean, when you've got a bolter like the Glory at the minute, you just position yourself to be one out, one back. It's not a bad spot to be.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to see some competition, I guess, because at the beginning of the season, everyone's saying, oh, Melbourne Victory is going to walk away with it. So it's good to see Glory keeping touch early on. And, you know, this afternoon's game against the Jets, it's sort of one you have to win. You'd expect to win as well, and, you know, to keep in touch with Victory at this early point.
Is Honda locked in for the whole season?
Yeah, whole season, but he's already said he's unlikely to stick around next season. There's, I think, obviously the contract that was offered, there's, you know, the possibility for an extension, but he's already sort of said, I'm not someone that's going to stay put for too long, and he's, you know, you've already seen his coach in Cambodia at the same time this year, so I think we're going to enjoy him while he's here.
Geez, he slots in nicely, though, doesn't he?
He does. Just everything, you know, he doesn't stop running in a defence and attack. He's,
yeah,
it's the heart of that team right now.
Yeah, no, it doesn't hurt whatsoever. Wellington Phoenix, they're no slouches.
Yeah, great to see them finally putting some results on the board. Obviously, they started the season with a win, and then they went downhill again, and everyone's like, oh, just another season for the Knicks. But they've done well. You know, last week, defeating Sydney FC, 3 goals in the first half. That was incredible. And they backed it up with another solid performance last night against the Mariners, who themselves, you know, they've won one of their past 28 A-League games.
Yeah.
That's just not on. You know, obviously, you just got a feel for that fan base, because it is a strong one. They've had success in the past, but something in that team just isn't right now.
Yeah, no. I think it's performances like Central Coast, which probably may have put some pressure on, you know, with A-League expansion, to just hold back on another Sydney team just here and now, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got to wonder about the depth. I guess if the Mariners can't put in, like, you know, find a competitive team to put on the table. Now, they've turned to NPL players who have done well, to be fair. You know, Matthew Miller at right back's been really good this season for them, but the fact that they haven't been able to be competitive at all, you know, it's a big worry for the depth of talent, I guess, in New South Wales right now.
Yeah, and then your mob last night, not so good, huh?
Yeah, well, we started really well. Obviously, scored the opener. I thought we really dominated play early on.
Yep.
And then Bedran Janetovic was a huge brain snap, you know, coming out of his box and then hand-blowing it when he didn't have to. I don't know if he got caught up in the moment because he just wasn't aware of where his players were. You know, in both instances, he sort of had it covered, and then there was obviously a player, you know, covering him in goals as well. So that turned the match on its head in Sydney. Inevitably, when it went away over 3-1, six straight copy wins for them, and not a good time for me.
And the weather wasn't all the best.
No, it was atrocious. Yeah. I got caught out in it myself. Pouring down rain, and 18,000 turned up in the end, which was a solid effort considering that the bad conditions, the trains were delayed as well. But that was the lowest ever Sydney Derby attendance in the A-League, which, you know, doesn't make for the greatest reading, but there's obviously, you know,
factors behind it, yeah. And judging from your Twitter feed, you got stuck in without a train, did you, on the way home? Was there a bit of drama or what? Yeah.
Yes, I had the Uber at home.
You're kidding me. Really? What's Uber from Western Sydney to home?
It wasn't too bad. I think it was about $30.
Okay. Jeez, that'll get you.
The bank account will survive.
Yeah, that'll get you to the other end of Western Australia. $30 with Uber at the moment. That many specials going on. And then, of course, today, Newcastle Jets glory we've talked about. And then the other one at 4 o'clock our time, Adelaide United, Melbourne City Football Club. Melbourne City not really striking too much fear in the competition at the minute.
No, and, you know, a big reason behind that is the fact Bruno Fornaroli, you know, remains on the outer with Warren Joyce.
Yeah, what's going down there?
Disappointing to see such, you know, huge players performed in the past for the club, just being frozen out pretty much by Warren Joyce. A lot of mumblings behind the scenes, but, you know, from what I've heard, Warren Joyce is a very divisive figure, and a number of the players aren't his biggest fan. He's very old school. He doesn't want any egos at the club, and Bruno Fornaroli, you know, perhaps rightly, he does have a big head. I mean, he's done a lot in the past for the club, and
yes,
he probably felt he deserved a bit of recognition. You know, maybe he wasn't as fit as he could be early in the season, but Joyce wasn't having any of that. And it looks like they'll now part ways, but it leaves a big hole for City to fill right now. Failed to score in two of their past three games without Fornaroli, so they're going to need to find something. Hopefully they find a good player in January. That's a must for them. But, you know, this game against Adelaide, it's interesting because Adelaide themselves aren't really with a well-known striker. Obviously, Papa Diawara is out for nearly the season again as well, I think. George Blackwood's injured as well, so it's sort of a game between two teams without any strikers. So could be a tough game to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And in overnight news, Luka Modric has criticised Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi for not turning up to the Ballon d'Or trophy.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I noticed that, you know, during the ceremony. I'm like, you know, they've won it so many times in the past. They're huge figures. They showed Modric the respect. I mean, he's turned up. I'm pretty sure he's turned up at all the past ones himself.
Yep.
So I think that's a very fair shout for Modric. His performances over the past year have been incredible. What he did for Croatia at the World Cup, I think, yeah, he deserves all the recognition he can get. And it's a shame to see Ronaldo and Messi not do that.
Yeah, I like the fact, speak what you think, if that's actually what you feel. He's got every right to say it, hasn't he?
Yeah, 100%, I agree, and hopefully just goes on and wins it again, and hopefully Messi and Ronaldo's been,
And EPL, can you see anyone getting ahead of Man City?
I can. I think there's been a few cracks.
3-1 wasn't a crack, obviously.
Yeah, they won last night, and that was, you know, again without Aguero, and Kevin De Bruyne eventually came on off the bench. He's missed a huge part of the season, so they've done well without two of their biggest stars.
Yep.
They're still finding a way. But Liverpool, if they beat United tomorrow morning,
That's a big game, isn't it? Liverpool-Man.
They'll go back top. They have a decent record at Anfield as well, but on form, you know, you think Liverpool should win that one.
Yeah.
And it's a huge result, especially going into this Christmas period where you need to pick up all the points you can get. So I'm hopeful the Reds can keep in touch, but, you know, looking beyond that, the amount of depth they have and the experience, difficult to see them slipping up too much.
Well, Joshua, just before I let you go, the FIFA have announced their 48-team World Cup for Qatar in 2022. That's actually pretty good news for Australia, the way they've gone about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it gives us a greater chance of reaching the knockout stages. And, like, on qualifying as well, which, you know, as we've shown last time around, it's not a done and dusted thing in Asia particularly. Good and bad, but, yeah, question marks going to continue to fall over this World Cup coming up. And then the conditions over there, they're going to play it in November. It's going to be very interesting to see how all that unfolds over the next 4 years.
Well, mate, on behalf of our listeners, thank you for all your input throughout the course of the year. We'll no doubt talk in the new year, and wishing you all the best for the festive season.
My pleasure, Pete. You too.
Good on you, mate. Joshua Thomas from goal.com.